Amen. Thank you so much. Sarah just prayed that she just prayed for me, because I get very nervous. I'm like, Sarah, just pray for me. She prayed that every single person in this room would go away with something different from what I'm going to bring this morning, which is what I believe God is going to do. Right, let me get sorted. This is my first time using an iPad to speak from, so we'll see. I like paper usually, so we'll see what goes on. There we go. Yes, great. David's very excited about his canometer, by the way, so. Yes, the thought and the design work have caused much excitement in his head, so please do bring your cans. Even if it's just for him, it'll make his year. So when I say energy, what comes to mind? This is where you get to shout out some thoughts. Energy. Strength. Sorry? Movement, yeah? Electricity, yeah, maybe? Power, yeah. I think of dancing at parties. I think of my 40th birthday party a few years ago. It was epic. It was brilliant. Everyone just danced the whole night. I think about sinking into a comfy sofa at the end of a busy day. I think about newborn baby nights. I don't know if you've experienced them, but you've got a newborn baby and ooh, those days, those weeks, those months, you're like, oh man, I don't even know what energy is anymore. I'm so spent. Or what about watching children who seem to have like endless energy? If you meet Joy this morning, Joy Togan, honestly, that is who she is. She is just this ball of energy that never stops. Or maybe when you or someone that you love is ill and you think, where did energy go? Last week, David talked about time and spending it well. And this week, as I've said, I'm going to look at energy as part of this Recalibrate series. And God deeply, deeply cares about energy and what we all do with it, every single one of us, how we spend it, and ultimately how we invest it. And I'm quite excited that the youth are in today, because it's the hub tonight, because this is really important for all of us at every age and every stage. I'm going to start with just making a point that he has made our body with the ability to convert and to utilize energy day and night. And this has been blowing my mind lately. When I was asked to speak about energy a few months ago, I'm not going to lie, I was like puzzled for quite some time thinking, well, what on earth am I going to say? But the more I've been thinking about it, the more kind of slightly obsessed I've become with thinking about energy. The fact that you are sitting here, that I'm standing here, living and breathing, is a testimony to God's provision of energy. You've got electrical energy driving kinetic energy as your heart beats, pushing blood around your body. Cue slide one. You might have had an EEG. The reason you're breathing is because your body is converting chemical energy, again, into this movement energy in the form of the muscles around your lungs contracting and relaxing to breathe in and out. You're digesting something, hopefully, right now, or at least you will be if you hang around for a donut or a bit of watermelon, but we're all probably digesting something right now. And the glucose taken in by your digestive system reacts with the oxygen that we're breathing in to create ATP. This amazing substance, am I using the right word? Oh, I don't know. Anyway, on a cellular level, I'm a music teacher, I'm not a science teacher, but I'm excited about it. It's amazing, right? But we have this ATP that is constantly being created in our bodies, and it's constantly storing for what we need our bodies to do. It powers everything we do. It's completely miraculous. Sometimes, and I don't know if this is just me, it might be, but I sometimes just sit and I'm just amazed that I'm breathing. Like, do you know? Well, I mean, maybe that's just me. You just think about it. Just actually breathing is amazing. And doesn't God say that every gift, every breath is a gift? Genesis 2:7 says this: "Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. And the psalmist later wrote, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." That's Psalm 150, verse 6. There's something about the fact that we are alive that pulls us towards God in worship. There's your brain. I think we might need to go back a slide, potentially. There, brain. Your brain with all the energy it needs, with the millions of messages it's responsible for right now, is firing. For the average adult, I have read that your brain consumes about 20% of your energy, of our resting energy, as we, you know, as we just exist and we just are, as we sit here processing, transmitting information through these electrical signals, through this energy. We get oxygen. God gives us oxygen. We breathe it in through our nose and our mouth into our lungs, and we get this amazing double circulatory system. God provides everything, absolutely everything we need. And we drink water, and the more water we drink, to a point, I don't want us to drown, but if we drink good amounts of water, our bodies are more able to utilize and convert the energy within our bodies, and our bodies feel more energetic when we drink the right amount of water. Our cells aren't dehydrated. They function well if we are hydrated. Sorry for the nurses and the doctors out there who I've just like upset with my vaguely factual ideas about the body, but you get the idea. Energy, it's okay. He's a professor. He says it's okay. That's good. It's all good for now then. But what we put into our bodies is really important. We have choices to make around food, around sleep, around exercise, and they all impact our energy levels. God is interested in all of this, and he made our bodies to praise him and serve others with the energy he gives us in the first place. So as we think about our energy and maybe recalibrating, that's why we're doing that today. And what about lastly, sorry, I'm not done, I am totally engrossed with all of this, your autonomic nervous system. This whole thing of keeping us alive, your brainstem telling your body to breathe in and out, and all of the other systems in the body that sustain life and give us energy. Energy is a miraculous gift to us all. And I think we might be underestimating just how remarkable energy is. And the obvious fact that it is a gift from God, and what we do with it, what we do with that gift, is important to him. Luke 10, 25 to 28, Jesus is asked a question. It says this: "One day an expert in the law stood up to test him. 'Teacher,' he asked, 'what must I do to inherit eternal life?' 'What is written in the law?' Jesus replied. 'How do you read it?' He answered, 'Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself.' 'You have answered correctly,' Jesus said. 'Do this and you will live.' 1 Corinthians 6 says, 'Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies.'" We've got this interesting thing going on, that whilst we have an amazing, incredible gift of energy day and night, we're able to honor God with what we do with our bodies, including with the energy that he gives us in every season of our lives. And everyone in this room and watching online, maybe if you're there too, everyone is in a different season. And we've got to respect that. We've got to consider that in our activity and in our rest. It's not only good for us, but it honors God that we consider and recalibrate today, thinking about energy. We're all in human bodies that get tired, and we need to look after our energy. So we're not designed to live like this all of the time. I love the Brownlee brothers. Oh, not that, yeah, that one. We're not designed the whole time to push ourselves to our absolute limits and stagger around with no energy at all. Nor are we created to live like this and to waste our energy. I wonder which where you stand in that. So today I'm going to talk for a bit, and then in pairs, you're the ones that are going to do some thinking about your own lives with each other, chatting and praying specifically about energy, how you steward it, and how you're going to invest it maybe going forward from this morning. See, there are plenty of things that you can waste your life on. There are plenty of things you can waste your energy on. I think you can waste it, you can spend it, or you can invest it. There's the three ways I'm going to start. So first of all, you can waste it. There are plenty of things. Oh, baby Sophie. She says, now you're walking, it's okay, Mom. There are plenty of things that we can waste it on. And as our doggy friend illustrates there, I wonder if we live at a point in history where it's possibly the most easy time to waste energy and maybe even encourage some in our society. Jesus taught us that the greatest use of our life and our energy is to invest it in his kingdom, that which outlasts everything. He says, where your treasure is, that is where your heart is. So what is most important to us? Is it the kingdom of God, or are there other things? And I want to read us a story. Jesus told many parables. This is sometimes called the parable of the talents, and it's sometimes called the parable of the bags of gold. And I'm going to read it to you, then just pull out a few things from it, if that's okay. I don't have it on slides because it's quite long. So it says this. This is Matthew 25, verse 14 onwards. It says, again, it will be like a man going out on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold, he gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold, and see, I've gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered. So I was afraid, and I went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. And his master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more. And they who have an abundance, whoever does not have, sorry, for whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be gnashing of teeth and weeping. So, that's quite a passage, isn't it? So let me just pull out a few things from it. First of all, everything you have, everything I have, belongs to God. God made it. We don't really own anything. You didn't come into this world with anything, and you're not going to take anything out of this world. God made us to manage his resources. the environment included. He also made you to have energy. He made your body to convert energy. And he made you to have that energy. Whose property was it in the story? It was the servant's, or was it the master's? It was the master's. God had entrusted him this bag of gold, or bags of gold. And he has entrusted some things to you and to me. But he owns everything. Just hold that thought for a moment. The creator of the universe has given you everything in the first place. Nobody got nothing. Everybody had something. The second thing, he's given you gifts of energy. He's given you energy and he's given you gifts. To one he gave five, to the other two, to the other one. But he says, I want you to go and invest it. You have been given gifts from God. Maybe you might think, well, what are they? Well, think about the path, the things that you're passionate about. Think about the talents you have. Think about the skills that you have. Think about the unique wiring that God has created in you when he knitted you together in your mother's womb. There are different things, different amounts, just different what he gives us all, but he always gives us something. There is no one in this room who is a no energy person. Everyone has something. And the Bible says in Romans 12, we have been given different gifts according to the grace given us. You're unique. Your experiences, your abilities, your personality traits even, your temperament. There is nobody else in all creation like you. You are unique. And no one else can express the kingdom of God in the way that you can. No one else can invest their energy like you can. So that's the second thing. The third thing is God expects you to invest the gifts he's given you and the energy that he has given you, because one day he's going to ask you, what did you do with what you were given? See, in Matthew 25, it says, after a long time, the master of the servants came back and settled the accounts. He made an investment. He's made an investment in you. And he is going to ask, what did you do with it? He wants a return. Because he loves us, because that's how we flourish when we are with him and we invest our lives in him. The Bible does say that we are going to have to give an account. You know, the end of that parable is like, oh, it's a bit to read out loud, isn't it? It's like, oh, that's harsh. But it's there for us to read and understand now in this life so we can invest and get ready to answer that question one day. How did you spend your time? How did you spend your money? How did you invest your energy? Where did you invest it? Where was your heart, Nicola? Where did you invest? Where was your treasure? I want to be able to say, God, it was in the kingdom. I spent my energy. I invested my time. I gave everything I had to be all in for the kingdom because you gave your life for me. Fourthly, it's wrong to bury what God has given. The first man took his money and doubled it. The second one took his money and doubled it again. And the third guy, he buries it. He dug a hole in the ground and he hid his master's money. He's cautious. He's conservative. He says, I'm going to play it safe. I'm just going to sit on it. And you, in some ways, you kind of can understand it, can't you? I mean, we're all different. Some of us are more cautious than others. But Jesus didn't take it as a reason, as a good answer about the energy, about the money that he had given him. He said, no, you've been lazy. This is wicked. And he was more than a little bit upset. And he says, at least you could have put it in the bank. At least you could have done something with it. And it seems like there's this sin of inactivity, this sin of passivity, that to do nothing with the energy that we have been given, to be given nothing, to give nothing of the talent and the skill that we have to invest in the kingdom, is not acceptable to Jesus. So we really should be considering how we invest the energy we have. The point is, we can't please God by playing it safe. We have to invest. I feel like for me, one of the biggest invests I have the chance to make in the kingdom of God is with young people. Now in this church, but in the past, you know, other Christian churches that I've been a part of. And I feel like it's a place where I can invest my energy. I've done it for about 27 years. I was thinking last night, about 27 years I've been involved in kids' ministry. And I was a child when I came to know Jesus. I was 9 years old. And I think sometimes God uses like our life experience and our story to really help us to spend our energy. I'm passionate about young people. Sometimes I get to do supply work in a supply teaching in a special school that is there for children with additional needs, and some have behavioural or emotional difficulties. And I love it because I can go in there and I can just invest. I can encourage them as a created individual by God. I mean, I don't say that, but I find all the things that are amazing about them and I just call them out all the time. It's what I go to the school to do. I don't teach much, but I do that a lot. And it's brilliant. And I love to encourage those who maybe society might see as weak in some way, as the least in some way. And God's provision for me is to have energy to do that. I've got the wiring to do that. I'm made to be an encourager. Over the last years, I've loved to serve on summer camps in the summer, on youth camps. And Dave and I and Hannah, last year, we served on DTI. Some of you would have heard Zeke the other week from Dreaming the Impossible. And there's this team called the Dream Team. And you give a week of your time in the summer to invest in young people who come to this camp to worship, to learn about the Lord, and just to move on with their walk with Him. And we got to be part of the chat room, and we're doing it again this year. But it just, you can sit down, be with them, and help them to navigate some of life's tough challenges. And we came back from DTI, I'm not going to lie, we were quite exhausted. Our energy was a bit like the Brownlee brothers as we drove back up the A1. But we were also exhilarated. There was something about investing, even in the kingdom, even though you get tired, there's something of the kingdom that just replenishes you in a way that that nothing else can. So just a few examples of how we spend. Fear can keep us from giving our all to God. When you cut through all the excuses about how you spend probably time, energy, and money, often it comes down to fear that can stop us from investing our talents, from investing our gold, from investing our energy. I want us to be wise. It's a scheme of the enemy to whisper in your ear, oh, you shouldn't, I don't know, join the kids' team. Oh, it'll be too much. It'll be tiring. You know, it'll be this or it'll be that. No. Don't be scared of investing your energy. Number six, if you don't use it, you use it, lose it. As time goes on, you can easily get into habits of spending your energy on other things. And the call of God to invest in the kingdom can be drowned out by the world and a slow slide to invest in that which does not last, that ultimately doesn't bring life. We laughed at the picture of the dog on the sofa, but I think we can get in that habit of choosing not to invest, and eventually we forget what energy we've got and what it's for in the first place. We've got to invest. I invest energy in loving my spouse and his canometer. It takes energy. It takes energy, but I choose to invest in that. It does take a lot of energy. I invest in praying for my girls and for loving them because God has given them as gifts to me. And my energy is to be spent investing in that which He has entrusted to me. I invest in caring for the church. I care about all of you more than you will ever know. And it's an investment of a shepherd with a flock that looks like you. But I am investing and praying for you and have been up thinking and stressing about what to say this morning because I care and want to get it right for the sheep. But unless I think about what I'm investing my energy in, life could just kind of pass me by. I need to invest in my own spiritual life. I want to invest, and I do invest, in the neighbourhood where I live, in my neighbours and caring about them. I invest in volunteering for Safe Families. It's a fantastic organisation helping mums, just coming alongside mums one at a time, just for a period of time to encourage them, and lots of other things. But God is giving me energy and choices day after day to invest or not in what I'm passionate about and what I'm made to invest in, there's always a temptation to do something else. Something else always looks maybe a bit shinier or a bit easier, but we are to invest what we have in the things that he's made us to. And I'll admit, I don't always invest in the right things. I have this Easter holiday confession. I have watched Married at First Sight Australia way too much. Way too much. Yeah, I know. Yeah. You know, it's not easy. But where and how are you investing in this season of your life? Have you thought about it like that? Because if we use our energy wisely, if we use all that we are wisely and we invest it, not just waste it or just use it, Jesus says at the end of that parable about the bags of gold, he says, come and share your master's happiness. The happiest people I know are those who are investing who they are and what they have in the kingdom. I know a retired couple who travel around the world investing younger leaders. They've kind of handed on the church that they planted, and they've been involved in Christian ministry like their whole lives. And they mentor Dave and I once a month. They give us time as well. And they delight in using their energy to build up and bless younger leaders. And you know, they are two of the most joyful, content people I know. Sometimes they're tired, they travel, or they get tired. I think they're well into their 70s. But at the same time, they are full of energy, this spiritual joy, and this living water literally flows out and through them to everyone around. They are investing so, so well. They're my heroes. They're the ones I want to be like when I'm older. And when God does an audit at the end of your life, at the end of your days on earth, is he going to say, well done, you gave it all, you invested it all, well done? Or is he going to say, you were lazy. Come on. Should have done more. Should have done it differently, maybe. To stand before Jesus with his hands pierced and have him say, why did you never even attempt to use what you had to get involved in serving me, in investing for eternity? Why were you so busy doing your own thing? I don't want to hear that. We have life group. There's loads of life groups in the life of the church. This week, at our life group, am I allowed to tell the story, Nicola? Okay. Nicola came on the call a little bit late. She said, I'm sorry I'm late. I've been swimming with Patricia. And I was like, that's cool. Yeah, this is what we're doing. Join in. She said, oh, but you'll never guess what happened. She said, we were at the swimming pool and there was this lady with a pram, and I just felt like the Lord say, she should really listen to the blessing. You know that song, through COVID, it was everywhere on the internet, everything. So she said to this lady, sorry to interrupt you kind of thing, but there's this song I just came to mind when I saw you, and I just felt like maybe God wanted you to listen to it. And this lady apparently was really chuffed. She was like, oh, thank you so much for coming over. I'm going to listen to that when I get home. And then there was a homeless man, I think, nearby the swimming pool, and you stopped and prayed for him. And I'm like, we were so excited to hear her story. We were glad she was late. We were glad she stopped. But it's not like we have to do everything differently, but in the course of our everyday ordinary, to say, God, I'm going to invest my energy in the things of the kingdom. I see the clues of your kingdom all around me. I'm going to stop, and I'm going to be, and I'm going to invest, not just hurry by. And the shout out for the pantry. If you've got a Thursday afternoon or a Tuesday that you think you can spend, invest it. There's a return and a joy which I can't even describe. There are so many ways to invest your energy. Just start by investing it. And if you need more energy, if you use what you have for God, wait and see what happens. When you put your little in the master's hands, just wait and see. Here's a promise from Isaiah 40. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those whose hope is in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. How about that for a promise? Doesn't matter who you are or where you're at in life, the passage from Isaiah is an incredible encouragement for God's unlimited renewal in every season. So let's invest our energy in staying close to God, in walking with him, the source of all love, all power, and all strength, and all energy, growing in him, being transformed to be more and more and more like him, receiving life and life to the full. John 7, Jesus said, "Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." That sounds like a pretty alive place, doesn't it? So we're going to take a look at where we are, honestly, so that we can think about how we can grow. And we're going to look at some key areas of our lives in a minute. And we're going to need to be really honest with ourselves and with a friend in this room. And more importantly, with God, who knows anyway what's going on. So in just a second, or actually any time now, there are some people in the room who have some little cards to give out to you. And these are going to hopefully act like bookmarks so that you can have them and take them forward. And we're going to look at three areas of our lives, okay? I'm going to stop talking and you guys are going to do the work. And I hope there's enough, because Easter Sunday I didn't have enough bits. So I want you to look at where you are at today, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. All of these areas of our lives all kind of contribute to our energy levels. If you haven't got one, just stick your hand up, because I can see some spares here. Okay, if you want to go on to the next slide, that'd be helpful. Physical energy, I think, is obvious. We all know how tired we are or not physically, yeah? When I say emotionally, how we're doing emotionally, what I'm talking about is how we're thinking and feeling, our sense of well-being, our ability to kind of cope with what's going on in life, our own emotions, as well as how we're kind of reading others' emotions. Just how are we doing emotionally? And spiritually is about your connection with God. How are you? Are you receiving God's love? Are you being transformed by God's love? Are you reaching out to others in love? Like, really, how is your soul? One of those questions that people don't often ask you when you're passed them by in Sainsbury's or whatever. How is your soul? And you might look at these and you might think, well, physically, actually, I'm quite good. I'm quite fit, I'm doing quite well, I'm healthy. Emotionally, a bit stressed about various things, I'm a bit on edge. Spiritually, you might think, do you know, I haven't stopped to pray. I haven't stopped to even think about my soul in a very long time. Or whatever. It could be anything. So what we're going to do, I'm going to give you a few minutes now. You don't have to write on it, you can just have a think about it. So I'm just going to invite the Holy Spirit, he's here already, just to have a moment with him and these three things. So yeah, we say, would you come, Lord? Thank that you made us to worship you with our minds, with our hearts, with our strength. Would you help us now just to look at these in the cold light of day today? Just to think about the truth of where we actually are with these things. Thank you that you love us wherever we are on all of these things. Come, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And this is what we're going to do. By way of being family, we are joined together. This is the miracle of the church. You might not even have met someone today, but they are your brother. They are your sister in Christ. If you just go on to the next slide. I have some questions that we are going to ask each other in pairs, okay? You're going to have one person to ask the questions and take about 5 minutes to do so. And then you're going to swap. So the questions are this. How was it for you to look at your energy levels How was it for you today just to think about those things? What do you sense the Holy Spirit is highlighting to you today? Which area is most important for you to make change? Physical, emotional, or spiritual? What ideas do you have about what you could do? And what difference would that make? So it might be just as you've looked at this, you're like, this physical thing, physically I'm not doing well, and I really want to do this one thing that's going to actually begin to change that. It might be whatever. So whichever area is most important, and then think about what could you actually change. And then we're going to ask each other, what one step towards living that change out are you going to make this week? Like, what are you actually going to do? And when are you going to do it? There's lots of research to say that when people actually say out loud what they're going to do, how they're going to do it, there's something even more powerful about kind of agreeing with that. And then the person that has been asking you the questions is going to pray for you. And I want you to pray for that person with all of your encouragement and bless that, whatever it is that they've decided to make the change in this week. And it might seem like a tiny thing to you. That's okay. Champion it, celebrate it. It's going to be awesome in their lives. And then you're going to swap, okay? It's been quite interested. Anyway, I won't wait to say. So anyway, blah, blah, blah. If you would like to, just get in pairs with someone that you feel comfortable to talk to, okay? You're going to move or not, or sit where you are. And you're going to discuss these things. But you've not got time to chit-chat. You've got to get straight on with these questions. So everybody, move, find a partner. I'm going to put my timer on because we're on a tight time for the kids. If you haven't got someone, maybe stand up. You might need to move. Nuala's on the move. And if you're at home, we'll just leave these questions up on the screen for you. Are you okay? Right, I'm starting timing now. Thank you. I can see a couple of people praying now. That's perfect. If you can kind of get to that end point, pray for that person's step and then swap over, ask the questions and pray. You're doing great. watching us, isn't they? Okay. Thank you, Lord. Amen. It's great seeing you all ministering to each other, listening to each other. Feels like a great family moment. So we just have a really simple prayer to finish today. Thank you, God, for the energy you give us. Help us to use it wisely and to recognize your presence in everything we do. Lord, I thank you for the decisions to step forward in different areas of life that have been made across this room. Thank you that you draw us into your presence and that everything we have, everything we have ever had, everything we will ever have is yours. And would you help us to live lives of worship fully turned over to you and love you with all our mind, with all our heart, with all our strength, and to love others. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing. And John's just going to sing over us just one time through, I think, just a chorus that it just really pertinent to today. And it might have been a song that you maybe have heard a long time ago, or maybe you've never heard it before. It's a bit of a golden oldie. But just in this atmosphere of surrender, I guess, and of choosing to run the race marked out for us. Just listen to the words of this song and maybe just meditate on that particular prayer for a minute, and then we're going to collect our children and have coffee. And David says, if you've got a cup, please reuse it. Okay, here we go.
Take the highest honor. Jesus shall take the highest praise. Let all earth join heaven in exalting the name which is above all other names. Let's bow the knee in humble adoration. Bow. Let every tongue confess he is Christ, God's only Son. Sovereign Lord, we give you glory now for all honor and blessing and power. Belong to you, belong to you.
Amen. That is our prayer, Lord, that we would honour you. And we recognise afresh today that everything belongs to you, and of your own do we gladly give you. Amen. Amen. Lovely to see you all. If it's your first time with us today, please do fill in one of the Connect cards. Leave it in the box at the back. Stay for a cup of tea or coffee and some donuts. And if you've got children, please do go and collect them before you have your coffee. Thank you very much.